to. It's part of our obligation to Hashem and to ourselves. It's not an all or nothing arrangement, right? It's not like I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, so I take that off the table as something I think about. You have to think about it all the time. And if for whatever reason we're not there yet, and whether it's justified or not justified, either way, it has to be something we're thinking about and wanting to make happen. So, whatever. We'll humbly, you know, we'll humbly try to inspire ourselves and sort of lament the fact that we're doing this from Chutz La'aretz, and hopefully we should get to Eretz Yisrael soon. All right, let's start with the Gemara in Ksubis. A beautiful Gemara in Maseches Ksubis, Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph and Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis. It tells us about different tzaddikim and how they embraced the land of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Abba Menashek Kipe Akko. Rabbi Abba used to kiss the stones of Akko. Rabbi Chanina Matakin Mataklei. Rabbi Chanina would go in the streets and he would fix the potholes. He would fix any of the roads that were broken. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, who I think were Kohanim, Kaime Mishimsha Letula Umitula Leshimsha. They would move back and forth from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun. Well, what does that mean? Let's look at Rashi for a second. It says that Rabbi Chanina used to fix the roads, Rashi says, Mishav Umitakin Michshole Ha'ir. He used to fix anything that he saw broken in the city. Machmas Chibas Ha'aretz. He loved the land so much that it pained him to see anything imperfect. Shaisa chaviva a love, and therefore, whenever he saw something that was a little bit broken, he wanted to improve Eretz Yisrael. Rav Elia Lopian was once walking with Rav Shalom Shadron. And as they were walking, Rav Elia Lopian said to Rav Shalom, he said, "That's so chaval." So he said, "What's chaval?" He said, "Look at that guy working, fixing the streets of Israel." So he said, "What's chaval about that?" He said, "It's chaval that he doesn't realize that he's doing a mitzvah. He's just doing his job. He's not thinking about the fact that when you're fixing a pothole in the middle of a street, so you're involved in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael." But Rabbi Chanina used to look for things to fix. He wanted to fix because he loved Eretz Yisrael so much. Rav Ami and Rav Asi would move from the sun to the shade. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Kisha Hashemesh Higia Lamakom Shein Yoishvin, Vigarsin, when the sun would be shining too brightly on their heads, and it was a hot day, right? So what would they do? They would move over and sit in the shade. And if it was a colder day, they would try to sit in the sun. Why? Kedei Shelo Yuchlu L'Hisra'im Al Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. That they should never, God forbid, come to say, oh, it's a little too hot in Israel, it's a little too cold in Israel. These tzaddikim were so sensitive to not give off any impression of anything other than absolute love for Eretz Yisrael. And of course, perhaps most famous of all, going back to the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda was Mignadar Ba'afra. Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda used to literally roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ki Rotsu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ve'es Afara Yichonenu. Because the Pasuk says in Tehillim that the servants of the land, right, the servants of Hashem, they desire its stones, like Rabbi Abba who would kiss the stones, Ve'es Afara Yichonenu. And they would also find pleasure and desire in the dust of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, unbelievable. The Rambam records in Hilchos Malachim, in source number 3, references this idea. And I want to begin, really, the first this year, by asking 5 questions. Many of these ideas are based on a Hakadama Sefer called Avo Besecha, by none other than Rabbi Elchanan Erman, Rabbi Erman, for those who know Rabbi Erman Shlita. The Hakadama to his Sefer on the Sheitza and other Sugyas, he has a beautiful Hakadama where he writes about the Chibas Eretz Yisrael. So I took many of his ideas, the way that he arranged it, and I'm going to present it to you with a little bit of my own, but a lot of it's based on Rav Erman Shlita, one of my Rebbeim and the sources of inspiration in this world. So the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Malachim that Gedolei HaChachamim Hayu Menashkin Al Tchumei Eretz Yisrael. They would kiss the borders of Eretz Yisrael. They would kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael. They were mezgalgalin al afra. They would roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk that the Gemara cited: "Ki ratzu avadecha es avaneha ve'es afara yichoneinu." The first question that we want to ask is: why does the Rambam record this as a halacha? The Rambam says that gedolei chachamim, as the Gemara told us, there were great rabbis who had unbelievable love for Eretz Yisrael. But why is the Rambam recording that as a halacha? Usually halacha is telling me what I have to do. And here the Rambam is just noting that there were tzaddikim who were so crazy about Eretz Yisrael that they were literally rolling in the dirt, that they were kissing its stones. Right? Why is that? That's not the type of thing you would expect to find in a halacha. Again, the Rambam doesn't take every midah tova that's mentioned by the Gemara and cite it as a halacha. The Rambam is a work of halacha. That's question number one. Question number two is when the Gemara says that they would kiss the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, and they were rolling around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael, that Rabbi Abba was kissing the kipei akko, and the Rambam says that the Chachamim would kiss the tchumei Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting, if you look in the Lecha Mishnah and the Kesa Mishnah on the Rambam, they present different boundaries, different borders that were kissed by tzaddikim. So for example, the Lecha Mishnah says, he quotes again the Gemara, Rabbi Abba would kiss the stones of Akko. V'sovra beinu d'hayim enashik sham shu t'chilas tchum Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the Rambam is adding that they would kiss the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So the Lecha Mishnah says yes, because as he was coming to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba, when he got to Akko, which was the starting point of Eretz Yisrael, he kissed the starting point of Eretz Yisrael. The Lecha Mishnah quotes a Medrash that says that when Rabbi Chanina HaGadol came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Bikesh Leida Im Nichnas L'Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to know if he got into Eretz Yisrael, and he was able to feel from the stones at what point he had transitioned from being in Chutz L'Eretz to being in Eretz Yisrael. So there's something about wanting to take that first step into Eretz Yisrael, and to be aware of the entranceway to Eretz Yisrael. But interestingly, the Kesef Mishnah, in source number 5, the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam says no. He says that when the Rambam mentions the Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, he's actually referencing that when the tzaddikim would kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael, the borders of Eretz Yisrael, in the language of the Rambam, Menashkin al Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, Hainu Akko Shehaisa Sof Tchum Eretz Yisrael. The Kesef Mishnah refers to it as the end of the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So is it a beginning or an end? Well, I guess everything could be a beginning or an end, right? Every door could be a way into the house or a way out of the house, depending on which direction you're coming from. But it's interesting to note that the Rambam is emphasizing the borders. Why is the Rambam emphasizing the borders, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? The starting point of Eretz Yisrael, the ending point of Eretz Yisrael. What is added by expressing it in that way? That's question number two. Question number three, which many have written about, and it's a fascinating question. There was one Rashi that we didn't read yet together. Rashi, on the Gemara citation of Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ves Afara Yichonenu, when the Gemara cites this pasuk of David HaMelech, right, that the servants of Hashem love the stones and love the dirt. So look what Rashi writes. Rashi writes Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avaneha Ves Afara Yichonenu. That's the pasuk. Open up a Gemara Ksubis, you'll see it with your own eyes. Rashi just quotes the pasuk. He doesn't comment on it. He doesn't clarify anything about this pasuk for us. I imagine, I didn't look, but I imagine if you take a Mikras Gedolos, volume of Tehillim, right, and you start looking at what the Mefarshim say, the Mefarshim have what to say on this pasuk. There's more that one could explain about this pasuk. The Gemara is quoting the pasuk to prove the very obvious point, that the tzaddikim loved the stones and they loved and found favor even in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. But why does Rashi just quote the pasuk? I mean, that's the whole thing. That's like the title, the Dibra Maaschil, and doesn't say anything. It would be as if Rashi said, Rabbi Chanina matakin matkale, Rabbi Chanina fixed the potholes in Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi quotes, Rabbi Chanina matakin matkale, Rabbi Chanina fixed the potholes. That's, Rashi usually has something to say. Rashi doesn't just quote the Gemara. Is Rashi saying anything here? Is Rashi, did I miss something? Did he change a letter? Did he do something here? Why is Rashi just repeating the pasuk from the Gemara? Okay, you could say all sorts of simple reasons, but people found if we believe that Rashi was writing on a certain level with a degree of Ruach HaKodesh, and every letter and every word of Rashi is Kodesh Kadashim, so then we have to ask, why did Rashi bother to just repeat the pasuk? Rashi always tries to add something new. What is he telling us by just repeating the pasuk to us? The fourth question that we want to ask comes from the Maharsha. I like when I'm driving and I see a stick in the middle of the road. Obviously, I have to try this only somewhere where it's safe to do this. But if you're on a local street in a suburban area, and I'm driving around, Teaneck or Bergenfield, and I see that a big tree branch has fallen and it's lying in the middle of the street, so many people will just swerve around it. But I like to stop my car as long as it's safe, no one's behind me. I like to get out. I like to remove the tree branch from the road, and I like to have kavana that I'm performing the mitzvah of keeping people safe. If you look in the last siman in Choshen Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch says that there's an obligation to do exactly what our Gemara says that Rabbi Chanina used to do, to fix the roads, to keep people safe. If you see a dangerous object in the roadway and you're able to remove it, the mitzvah of staying safe, of keeping others safe. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not just, a nice menschlich thing to do. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's a mitzvah. So says the Maharsha in his commentary on Maseches Ksubis, I don't really understand. Lo yadana mai rabosehu she'asu kein ve'eret Yisrael. Ki vaday min haroi lios b'chol makom. I don't understand. Rabbi Chanina would fix the roads, and Rabbi Asi didn't like to sit in a spot that was too hot, so they moved into the shade. These are normal things. These are not unusual things. What's the chiddush that Rabbi Chanina used to fix the potholes? I heard on the radio the other day that in New York they have, they earmarked like $1 billion or something to try to fix all the potholes by, the year 2031 or something like that. So any normal society is sensitive to try to upgrade the quality of their life and the safety of their roadways. What's the chiddush here? What's the chiddush the Vichanina? I would fix a pothole. You'd fix a pothole in Bergenfield also. You'd fix a pothole in Chicago. You'd fix a pothole in Los Angeles. Right? What's the chiddush that the Marsha's question? What's the chiddush that they have the sensitivity to fix a pothole in Eretz Yisrael? That's question number four. And our final question before we try to put it all together. And again, it's all one thing. It's all really one simple mahalach, but something to think about a lot today. The final question comes from Rashi's comment in Parshas Shlach. The Meraglim should have known better. Really, the Meraglim should have known better. Why? So Rashi says, Shlach lecha anashim in source number 7, Lama nismacha Parshas Meraglim le Parshas Miriam. Why does the story of the Meraglim and the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara, why are they next to each other? What's the smichus haparshios? Explains Rashi, lefi shalaksa al ikse iske diba shedibra ve'achia, that Miriam was afflicted, she was punished with saras because she spoke negatively. V'rishayim halalu ra'u v'lo lakchu musar. And these wicked individuals, these meraglim, they should have learned the lesson from Miriam. Is that true? If Miriam spoke lashon hara against the gadol hador and got punished, so you should probably be careful what you say about a rock. What kind of kavul chomer is that? Miriam spoke lashon hara about the greatest person on planet Earth, arguably at the time, the leader of Klal Yisrael. Happens to have been her brother, but he was the leader of the Jewish people. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. He spoke to Hashem pe'al peh. How dare you speak out against Moshe Rabbeinu? But the Meraglim should have inferred from there that if we don't like the agriculture of the land of Israel, if we're nervous when we see the threatening enemies in the land, and we speak in a way that's somewhat disrespectful of the land and of its inhabitants, so therefore what? That makes sense? They should have figured that out. They would have said, how? Moshe Rabbeinu, we never would have speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. We thought we were giving an honest report about the land. Was the tree insulted? Was the dirt hurt? Were the feelings of the dirt hurt by what we said? The Mishnah and the Gemara and Maseches Erechin on Daf Tesvav say that motzi shemra, in a certain sense, is worse than ones. What does that mean? Ones umafata. The Mishnah talks about situations of lahakil ulahachmir, things that from one perspective could be a kula, from another perspective could be a chumra. So what does that mean? I'll explain in a second. B'motzi shemra lahakil ulahachmir. The Mishnah in Arachin says, when it comes to motzi shemra, when it comes to a husband who slanders his wife, and he claims that she was not a basula, and it's proven to be incorrect. So it could be a kula or it could be a chumra. What does that mean? The Torah assigns a penalty. The Torah says that if a man is found falsely accusing his wife of not being a basula prior to their wedding, with the assumption that that she was a basula, and he's found to be fraudulent in his claims, right? He spoke badly against her in vain, so he needs to pay 100 shekel, 100 sela. If a man rapes a woman, the Torah says there's a penalty of 50 sela. So apparently slandering someone, in a sense, is even worse than physically abusing a person. So the Mishnah says, when it comes to motzi shemra, it could be a kula or a chumra. Ketzad, echa shotzi shemra al gedola shebekuhuna, val ketana shebi Yisrael, nosein me'asela. It doesn't matter who you spoke against. If you spoke against a totally undistinguished woman, the penalty is 100. If you spoke against the most renowned woman amongst the Jewish people, someone who's from the finest family of priests, the penalty is the same. So again, if you felt like you slighted a person who's not doesn't deserve to be greatly compensated, she still gets 100 sela. And if you spoke against someone who deserves a much greater compensation, still only gets 100. But we see from the fact that the Torah is more stringent about motzi shemra, about verbal attacks, than physical attacks. Lo aleinu v'lo aleichem. Nimtza ha'omer b'piv chamor mina osa maisa. Says the Mishnah, we see from here that one who damages with his lips, with his mouth, is more severe than a person who does an action, than a person who committed a physical act. Shechein matzinu shelo nechtam gzar din al avoseinu b'midbar, ela al lashon hara. And similarly, we see for all the things that the Jewish people did wrong in the Midbar, what sealed the deal? Why did you sit on the ground this past Tisha B'Av? It was the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. That sealed the deal. Says the Gemara a couple lines into the Sugya on Daf Tesvav Mer Aleph. Amar Rav Elazar Bar Parta, Bo Ure'e Kam Agadol Kavach Shel Lashon Hara. Come and see how great is the power of Lashon Hara. Minalan, where do we know it from? The Meraglim. Uma Motzi Shem Ra'al Eitzim V'Avonim Kach, HaMotzi Shem Ra'al Chaveiro Alachas Kama V'Kama. If the Meraglim spoke badly about sticks and stones, and they were held so accountable that it brought about all of the Chorban in history, so all the more so if a person is Motzi Shem Ra on a person, Alachas Kama V'Kama. If we have to be so careful not to speak this way about a stick or a rock, all the more so we have to be so sensitive in the way that we speak to people. So that I kind of hear. If you start from the Meraglim and say, well, from the fact that the Meraglim are held accountable for speaking against inanimate objects and plant life, so too we learn from here, you should be careful not to speak against people. That makes sense to me. But what I don't understand, and this is our fifth and final question, is what is Rashi saying? Rashi saying that they should have learned from the fact that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against the Gadol Ador, they should have figured out from there you don't speak Lashon Hara against a rock. How does that make sense? After Chet HaMeraglim, we see that a person who even spoke badly about a rock is held accountable, so we should go further and learn from there, not the sense people. Well, how should the Meraglim have inferred from Miriam's Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu not to speak Lashon Hara? So, Chevra, the answer to all of these ideas is really found in the notion of the twofold responsibility that a Jew has to Eretz Yisrael. Let's take the Rambam, for example. Just popped in my head. I think it's just as another model of this. Right? When it comes to Mashiach, what does the Rambam emphasize when it comes to the Yud Gimel Ikarim, the 13 principles of our faith? What do we have to do with Mashiach? Leo, what do we have to do? Well, we have to strive to bring Mashiach. First and foremost, we have to believe in Mashiach. Ani ma'amin be'emuna shleima b'vias ha-Mashiach. But more than believing in Mashiach, what else do I have to do? I have to long for Mashiach. It's two steps. They're related, obviously, but it's two points. It's one thing is that I have to believe in the concept of Mashiach. But additionally, I have to what? I have to want to connect to that idea of Mashiach. I have to long for Mashiach. I have to be thinking about Mashiach. The Sefer Charedim says, if you read it carefully, the same thing is true when it comes to what? When it comes to Eretz Yisrael. we sometimes think if I'm not living in Eretz Yisrael, so then okay, so I have not fulfilled that that obligation, and you know, and that's it. And if I have a good excuse, so then okay, so I'm done for now at least. Halavai, I should find a way to get there, but for now I don't have to worry about it. Not true at all. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Again, I'm not learning the sugya now, whether mitzvah, yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah, and who says like this, and who says like that, but just speaking generically, right? There's a mitzvah, there's a goal, there's certainly a value in living in Eretz Yisrael, but there's also an absolute value in thinking about Eretz Yisrael, loving Eretz Yisrael. If you're not living there, visiting Eretz Yisrael as much as you can, learning about Eretz Yisrael. I know when you're in Chutz La'aretz and you learn about Eretz Yisrael, it causes a pain in your heart, and it should. And that'll hopefully motivate us to get to Eretz Yisrael. And I beg each and every one of you to think about it even more carefully than I did when I was your age, because it gets harder as life goes on. And not to say it's impossible. We always think about it. We always talk about it seriously. But Amir Tzashen will be blessed with a family, and it gets hard. You know, I have a daughter in 9th grade. To pluck her out and to take her to Eretz Yisrael is not so simple at this point. And family also matters. Eretz Yisrael matters a lot in our value system, but taking care of your mishpacha also matters a lot. So the Sefer Charedim says, but that doesn't excuse me, Moshe Tzvi, from thinking about Eretz Yisrael as much as I can, from loving Eretz Yisrael. I shouldn't look away because I'm embarrassed that I don't live there. I should look towards Eretz Yisrael. I should celebrate from a distance with Eretz Yisrael. Says the Sefer Charedim in Perek Nun Tes. The Sefer Charedim is a beautiful arrangement of all of the mitzvos and some of their messages and their corresponding body parts and how I try to infuse my entire being with Torah and mitzvos. So he writes, when he discusses Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, V'tzorach kol ish Yisrael lechaviv es Eretz Yisrael, ulavo elah me'af se'aretz, b'tshuka gedola, keben el chek imo. There's an obligation, there's a necessity to love Eretz Yisrael, lechaviv Eretz Yisrael, to love Eretz Yisrael, and also to come to Eretz Yisrael. From wherever you are in the world, running back into Eretz Yisrael's arms, like a child jumping into his mother's bosom, clinging to his mother's chest, jumping into his mommy's embrace. Kitchilas avono shenikva lanu b'chil edoros. Because after all, why are we not in Eretz Yisrael? Collectively, not individually. Collectively, we're not in Eretz Yisrael because of the crying that took place when the Meraglim came back and gave the report. And we despise the land. And therefore, our obligation, our sense of responsibility to Eretz Yisrael is to what? Is to try to fight our way back in, to come to the land, but also to love the land, to feel unbelievably strong feelings for the land. And now we're beginning to understand the answer to our first question, because it's not just about living in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah incumbent upon every Jew to love Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Rambam looks at those gedolim at the end of Ksubis not as outliers, not as yechidim, who loved Eretz Yisrael so much that they kissed the land. That should be the halacha for all of us. The Rambam writes it in Hilchos Malachim because the Rambam is telling us, I'm not just saying that tzaddikim, gedolim, chachamim did this. That becomes your life also. That's how you should live. If a tzaddik does something, right? There are certain things maybe tzaddikim do that are only for tzaddikim. But sometimes you look at a tzaddik, you see the way that he models certain behaviors and you try to do that. So for example, the Rambam brings, he describes, again, based on Gemara's, the Chachamim Rishonim hayu mekabsin talmideim b'erev Shabbos u'misatfim v'omrim bo v'neitzei l'kras Shabbos HaMelech. Chachamim Rishonim used to gather their students wrapped in their talesim, and they would go out, Kabbalah, the original form of Kabbalah Shabbos, going out to greet the Shabbos. So again, you read a Gemara like that, you read a Rambam like this, is this the halacha? Should we try to mimic this? And the answer is, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says yes. This is the Shulchan Aruch. If you don't think the Rambam's halacha enough, how about the Shulchan Aruch? Is that halacha enough for us? This is a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos. The halacha says that Rabbi Chanina used to wrap himself and he would wait for Shabbos. And he would say, let's go out to greet Shabbos Malkasa. And Rabbi Yanai said, Boi Kala, Boi Kala. That's a halacha? That Rabbi Chanina did like this, Rabbi Yanai did like that. But the answer is yes, because you should also do like that. You should be inspired by the hanhagos of these gedolim. Now, I will point out, just to be honest and fair, there were tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim who felt, who am I to try to pretend that I have the level of love that these great tzaddikim had? There's no question there are madregos when it comes to what? when it comes to expressing one's love for Eretz Yisrael. And it's not like either I love Eretz Yisrael or I don't. There are levels of love. For example, the Brisker Rav was asked, why don't, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, why don't you do like the Gemara in Ksubis, Kuf Yud Beis? We didn't see you kiss any rock. We didn't see you rolling in the dirt. So he said, because I'm not on that Madrega. But you see from this Rambam, and you see from this Shulchan Aruch, that sometimes we're supposed to try to be like them. Again, you can't do something that's inappropriate for you. I'll tell you an amazing story. I meant to tell it the other night at the mental health panel. It's such a good story about being self-aware. Someone, I think Yaakov Ferracci. Anyone know Yaakov Ferracci? He used to be in our shir. Tzadik Yisod Olam. So Yaakov Ferracci told me this story. He said that someone once came to Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. You know what that is? Chav, you know what that is? The rabbi used to wear all the tzitzis, like 80 pairs of tzitzis. So someone came to Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, I was zocheh to meet on a couple occasions. So Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, so he said to him, Rebbe, I wanna dress in all white on Shabbos. Our tzaddikim who do that. So Rav Scheinberg said to this fellow, I don't think you should do that. You have to be normal. You have to be normal. So this guy says, Rebbe, you wear 80 pairs of tzitzis. Like, you're telling me I have to be normal. Like, you're sitting there bigger than any linebacker in the NFL. And I'm telling you, like, I think I'd get a geshmak, you know? Rebbe, I want to start wearing a gartel. I don't know, you're not ready for it. You have to be normal, you know? You don't wear all white on Shabbos. Oh, do you live in Svat? No, I live, you know, I don't know. You're going to stand out in shul. It's not healthy. It's too much. You have to be normal. So he said to Rav Scheinberg, Rebbe, you wear 80 pairs of tzitzis. So Rav Scheinberg said, yeah, and for me, that's normal. For me, that's appropriate. For me, that's normal. Such an important yesod. So the Brisker Rav, with his great, brisk outlook and his great respect and sensitivity for Madregos of Godless, the Brisker Rav said, I'm not Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi from the Gemara. I'm not Rabbi Chanina. I'm not Rabbi Abba. I'm not on the Madrega to be kissing the stones and rolling in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Because there are different Madregos of love that we have for Eretz Yisrael, and the goal is to constantly try to increase that love, to try to raise the level of that love. I'll prove to you from the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Gimel that there's different degrees of love of Eretz Yisrael, and I give you a bracha that we should be in the class of those who reach high levels of love for Eretz Yisrael. Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in source number 12, Amar le Rav Chista le Rav Yitzchak, Hai Mishcha da Afar Samon Mai Mevarchin Ilave. What is the bracha that a person should recite on a certain type of anointing oil, right? You're putting on some type of fine cream or fine smelling oil, right? You can make a bracha on the scent. What bracha should you make? So he said, he responded to him, Amar lei hachi amar of Yehuda, borei shemen artzenu. Beautiful bracha. You ever heard anyone make that bracha? Probably not. Amar lei Bar Mineid Rav Yehuda de Chaviva Le'Eretz Yisrael. No, don't bring me the version of the bracha that Rav Yehuda used to recite. He loved Eretz Yisrael so much he could say a bracha of Borei Shemen Artzeinu. That's not a bracha of a talah for someone like Rav Yehuda. But Lekuli Al Mamai, what about for regular people like ourselves? Oh, for regular people you should say Borei Shemen Arif. I can appreciate that the oil is fine oil, quality oil. I'm not ready to say that I see that the oil is the oil of Eretz Yisrael and I'm celebrating the oil because it's quality oil, because it smells good, because it softens my skin. But to be able to say, Borei Shemen Artzeinu, you have to be on a certain madrega. So there were tzaddikim who were hesitant, to fully embrace Eretz Yisrael because of their love for Eretz Yisrael, or because of their feeling that they're not ready to give Eretz Yisrael the proper respect that it deserves. But the goal of our avoda when it comes to loving Eretz Yisrael is to try to increase that love. There's living in Eretz Yisrael, but if you're not zocha yet to live in Eretz Yisrael, you have the opportunity to be mekayim this aspect of loving Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back to our questions for a minute. What was our second question? Now that we understand this notion of loving Eretz Yisrael, loving every bit of Eretz Yisrael, we understand why the Rambam is saying that the tzaddikim, the second they stepped into the border of Eretz Yisrael, they were already expressing love for Eretz Yisrael, and every single step that they took from the beginning border to the end border was infused with the love of Eretz Yisrael. Every step that they took. Rabbi Chanina, every pothole that he could fix, any little thing that he could make it a little bit nicer, a little bit better, in his just complete, absolute, overwhelming love for Eretz Yisrael. You know what they say in answer to the question that we asked, question number 3 about Rashi? Why does Rashi just quote this pasuk? And this is a really strong part. Why does Rashi just quote the pasuk of the Gemara? He doesn't offer any peirush, any commentary, any perspective. But Rashi, they say, made a change. What did he change? You know what he did? He took out the word shenamar. Why did Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda roll around in the dust? Well, the pasuk says you're supposed to roll around in the dust. You're supposed to love Eretz Yisrael. They say b'derech drush. And again, I don't know if Rashi intended this. It's hard to say that he did exactly this. But b'derech drush, it's such a nice idea. And again, if you believe in Rashi, and you believe in the precision of Rashi's hand and his pen being guided to write his commentary on Gemara and on Chumash, then you believe that you could say such a vart. Rashi took out the word shenamar. You know why Rashi took out the word shenamar? Because, chevra, a Jew's love for Eretz Yisrael, as I titled today's shiur, a natural love for Eretz Yisrael, is supposed to be natural. It's not, oh, I read in a sefer, I'm supposed to kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael. Oh, I read in a sefer, you're supposed to roll around in the dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Oh, there's a mitzvah to fix the potholes in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, I should be careful not to speak Lashon Hara, so I should probably, you know, not sit in a spot that's too sunny, because maybe I'll complain against Eretz Yisrael. But that's not really about Eretz Yisrael. It's general not speaking Lashon Hara. No. By taking out the word Shenamar, Rashi's saying is that these tzaddikim, yes, Shenamar, Enachanami, Shenamar, yes, the David HaMelech said it. But for them, it wasn't a Shenamar. They didn't do it because they read it in a sefer. You know, one of my Rebbeim ones joked, like, imagine if, like, you brought your spouse flowers for Shabbos. I bring my wife a bouquet of flowers. And I say, you know, sweetie, I bought you these beautiful flowers for Shabbos. Wow, thank you. That's so thoughtful of you. And then you start to explain, well, because I heard in the shiur that it's a nice thing to buy your wife flowers for Shabbos. So you just ruined it. Right? It was, a moment ago, it was a natural expression of our connection. And now I'm telling you, oh, here's the source as to why I did this. It undermines it a little bit. The tzaddikim were so natural in their love for Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't by them, it wasn't a shenemar, because David said it, that's why we did it. For them, it was just a natural expression of how a Jewish neshama should feel, which is a deep, deep connection to Eretz Yisrael. And when I think about that Rashi, I'm reminded of a vart from Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in the Sefer Divrei Sofim explains a medrash in Rus Rabbah. The Medrash says the following. The Medrash says that if a person does a mitzvah, he should do it b'lev shalim. What does it mean to do it b'lev shalim? It's a cryptic Medrash. Shem adam osa mitzvah yasena b'lev shalim. What does that mean? The Medrash says, if Reuven would have known that the Torah was going to write about him, vayishma Reuven heard the plan of his brothers, and he saved Yosef from their hands, v'atzilehu mi'adam, then Reuven would have known, he made the front page of the papers. Achas kam v'kama. He's being written about for posterity in the Torah. So Reuven would have scooped Yosef up and carried him home on his shoulders. And if Aaron HaKohen would have known that the Torah is going to describe his encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu and the lack of jealousy he showed towards his brother's success as Moshiach Shel Yisrael, if Aaron would have known that the Torah would write about that encounter, then Aaron would have gone out with musical instruments. He would have gone out with much greater fanfare. And if Boaz would have known about his generosity towards Rus, he wouldn't have just given her some toasted grain. He would have given her fattened calves. He would have given her much finer gourmet foods. That's what the Medrash says. Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains, what I don't understand. So you're saying that Reuven would have done it for the fame and fortune? That Aaron and Boaz were in it to show off? The Medrash concludes, Rav Cohen, Rav Yeshua de Sichnin, in the name of Rav Levi, say, that in the past, haya adam osa mitzvah v'hanavi kosva, in the olden days, the things that we did were recorded, if you're so lucky, in the Torah, or in the Nevi'im, v'achshav. But who's writing our story today? Kisha adam osa mitzvah mikosva. It says the Medrash in Rus Rabbah. What a beautiful Medrash. When you do a mitzvah, when you put on your tefillin this morning, who wrote that down? Eliyahu kosva u'melech Mashiach. Eliyahu writes it, and Mashiach and HaKadosh Baruch Hu chosim al yadayim. and it's signed and sealed by Eliyahu and Mashiach and Hashem. What an unbelievable idea. But again, let's go back to the simple question. So you're telling me that what? As many ask on this medrash, what Reuven and Aaron and Boaz, if they knew people were taking pictures, then they would have done it even more so. Rav Tzaddik explains, they didn't do it, of course, yeah, if someone is watching, so sometimes you try to step it up a notch. But the whole beauty, the reason that they actually made it into the pages of the Torah, the reason they made it into the pages of Ksuvim, the story of, and the generosity of Boaz, which is the context here, and Rus, the Medrash in Rus, is dafka because they didn't look around and say, oh, let me think, why should I do this? Well, I read one time that it's a mitzvah. They did it with a certain naturalness. And while, of course, mitzvah srichos kavana, we try to do mitzvahs because the Torah says so, it's not just my natural instinct, but there is something instinctive that a Jew is supposed to have. A certain naturalness in Avodas Hashem, a natural attraction to Kedusha. Listen to the words of Rav Tzaddik, they're beautiful. Rav Tzaddik says, Iker chashivas hamaisa kerasher ino margish kolkach hayakris sheyeshva. The best mitzvahs you did were the ones you did without even realizing how precious they were. That you had become so natural at being a Yid that it just, of course this is what I do. I don't have to think, oh, what does the Torah want for me in this situation? What does Hashem want? I become infused with Elukus, that I know what Hashem wants. The oz lav rabusa kol kach lachshok b'davar yakar, because it's not such a chiddush to say that a person would choose something valuable. If I know everyone's watching, of course I'm gonna, you know, step up my game. If I know this has great value, of course I'm gonna do it. But what about the things I don't know if it's so valuable or not? But I just do it with a wholesomeness and a simplicity. Kasher eini odeh kol kach chashivas shavo. If I just do it with tmimus, with simplicity and wholesomeness, hanira be'enav tov, because I do good because it's good. V'hudavar haroi k'ratzon shemayim, and I sense, I know this is what Hashem wants. Azafilu davar kal nechshav harbe. Even a small thing is worth a lot. And then he quotes our medrash. Tzeh nikra b'lev shalim. This medrash, this idea of Rus Rabba, that's called lev shalim. Kasher eini yodeya kol kach yakris adavar. You're right, Reuven did good because it was the right thing to do. And he didn't do it because, well, maybe Hashem will put it in the Torah. And Aaron went out to greet Moshe, b'sever panim yafos, because that's the type of person that Aaron HaKohen was. He did it because it was natural to him. And that's what Rashi's telling us. Rashi's telling us by dropping the word Shenamar, Rashi's saying that what? They didn't do it because of the Shenamar. They did it because of the natural state of love that a Jew is supposed to have for Eretz Yisrael. And again, all of this is part of the answer to the question of the Marsha. Isn't it appropriate to fix roads wherever you are? And the answer is yes. But Eino Doma, fixing a road in Eretz Yisrael, the feeling that a Jew, when I fix a road, I literally told you, when I get out of my car to remove the obstacle in the way, so first and foremost, I do it because my parents raised me in a nice way. So I try to be a mensch. Right? But now I'm a big, you know, now I'm a big chacham. I saw in the last siman in Shulchan Aruch, it says, you know, that there's a mitzvah to remove, you know, harmful things from the roadways. So I have kavana, and mitzvah srichos kavana. I'm not a rasha for thinking that when I do it. But there's a certain naturalness that a person's supposed to have as well. And Rabbi Chanina, when he used to fix the roadways in Yerushalayim, he did it not because the last siman in Choshen Mishpat says, you know, make sure that people don't get hurt. He did it because he loved Eretz Yisrael. And he brought a different dimension of chiba, that which he did in Eretz Yisrael. We ask the question, is it reasonable to her from the Lashon Hara on Moshe Rabbeinu not to speak Lashon Hara against sticks and stones? And the answer is yes, and I'll tell you why. The Chavetz Chaim, right, in his Sefer Chavetz Chaim, right, where he got his name from, Yisrael Meir Cohen. The Sefer Chavetz Chaim opens up by outlining how many things are going when you speak Lashon Hara. Does anybody know how many possible Aveiros violation of when you speak Lashon Hara? It's a terrifying number. The Chavetz Chaim says, well, in addition to, you know, the more obvious psukim in the Torah that speak about Lashon Hara, a lot of subcategories that you, you know, boxes that you check off also. So like if you speak Lashon Hara against a Kohen, so then that's not only Lashon Hara, but it's failure to what? It's failure to respect the Kohen. So the Chavetz Chaim puts together a list. Anyone know how many? Anyone familiar with the number? The Chavetz Chaim says there are 17 los asei, 14 mitzvos asei, and 3 curses of the Torah, 3 arurin of the Torah. that a person potentially violates every time you speak Lashon Hara. In his introduction, he outlines them for us. So if you look in the Psicha to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, by the 14 positive commandments you violate when you speak Lashon Hara, the second one is the following. When you speak Lashon Hara, it's a violation or a lost opportunity of what? It's a bitul asay, at the very least, the negation of a mitzvah asay, of a hafta l'recha kamocha. Because the Torah commands us to be concerned for the money of one's friend, all the more so to be concerned for him, his kavod, to speak positively about him. Right? And therefore, a person who is mesaper lashon hara urechilas al chavero, or he receives lashon hara against his friend, even if it's true, he's demonstrating that I don't love this guy. Nira ba'alil she'eno o'avo klau. Who could listen to such a thing if you really cared about this person? V'kol shechein dekamocha bavade eno makayim. Right? Certainly, you're not on the level of haftarecha kamocha. You would want someone to talk like you, to talk about you in that way? Obviously not. So a person who doesn't, you know, stop Lashon Hara, doesn't walk away from such a conversation, or God forbid, initiates or says such a thing, it's a terrible violation of a hafta l'reacha kamocha. So therefore, chevra, now that we're learning that the chiba, that the love that a Jew has for Eretz Yisrael is not just, you know, the regular feelings that we have towards, it's like almost like a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. Again, I'm not speaking in a halachic sense. Right, but it's its own value. In addition to living in Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah, so to speak, in quotations, to love Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when you speak what? When you speak Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael, as the Chafetz Chaim is telling us here, the opposite of showing love is speaking negatively. So the Meraglim, when they spoke negatively against Eretz Yisrael, yes, they should have realized that that's the antithesis of how a Jew is supposed to feel about Eretz Yisrael. Let's go back to the example from the Gemara. They would move out of the sun to sit in the shade, or out of the shade to sit in the sun. Were these tzaddikim really so concerned with their comfort? You know, sometimes a person wants to create a certain atmosphere before they start to learn, right? It has to be, the temperature has to be just right. If the room is too hot, the base mezrash is too hot, the base mezrash is too cold, right? I need a cup of coffee and I need a comfortable chair. And a person gets, you know, some people are very particular about, by a tzaddik, they don't care. Rav Ami and Rav Asi, their heads were in the Gemara. They didn't even notice what temperature it was. But they had Talmidim. And they were concerned that maybe some of their Talmidim, who were not yet on their Madrega, because again, there are levels when it comes to love of Eretz Yisrael, maybe the Talmidim would what? Would say, you know, Rebbe, could we sit somewhere else? It's a little bit uncomfortable. Or Rebbe, could we turn the air conditioning up? You know, it's a little bit hot. Or Rebbe, it's a little bit too cold. Could we move to a warmer spot? And they were so sensitive that what? That their Talmidim should not even utter not only were they worried about their own love of Eretz Yisrael, they were looking out for people around them that they should love Eretz Yisrael, and not to even say the slightest thing against Eretz Yisrael. Says the Ben Yehoyada, says the Ben Yishchai, in his commentary on the Gemara in Ksubis, he says that they would be makdim, they would make sure to pick out a good spot to sit, so that the Talmidim shouldn't come to say, Lo Tov, this spot's no good. God forbid to say about a spot in Eretz Yisrael. Not even speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael. This spot is not comfortable. The tzaddikim didn't want anyone to chas v'shalom utter those words. Says the Ben Yishchai, says the Ben Yoyada, U'mikan yilmod ha'adam musar haskel. Lishmor piv lishono. Leval yotze mi piv shum dibur lo tov. Leganos afilu ama'achas me'Eretz Yisrael. I love that lashon. A person should guard his mouth, not to say anything not good, to speak scornfully about even one amma of Eretz Yisrael. To even say, this one little patch that I'm sitting in, you know, this one spot in the desert is too hot for me. God forbid to say such a thing. Hein mitzad ha'avir, not to speak bad about the air of Eretz Yisrael. Avir d'Eretz Yisrael machkin, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kufnun Ches, says the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person smart. Or to say, oh, it's too cold. A chilly night in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, in the winter can get kind of cold. Or it's too hot, right? There's a heat wave. And to say it in a way of complaining. Hein mitzad ha'peiros. To say, God forbid. I mean, Hashem makes the fruits and vegetables of Eretz Yisrael so delicious, it's hard to say bad on them. Right? But God forbid, if you got one rotten vegetable, to attribute that to Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom. Hein b'inyan ha'binyan, right? To say, oh, these buildings are too like this or too like that. To not say anything bad about Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom. And if Rav Ami and Rav Asi were planning ahead to make sure that the people around them also would have that, would be in an environment where they'd be able to have that sensitivity as well. Chaver, just a couple more minutes. I want to show you a Tiferes Shlomo from Radomsk. And these are words to really daven over. Okay? If you're looking to find the words to express how I should be feeling, these are words we can not only learn, but we can daven over. In Parshas Maaseh, at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Vav, the last chapter in the last Perek of Chumash Bamidbar. So we know that that some Jewish women who were not entitled to, initially, or seemed that they were not entitled to a piece of land, were very upset. The Menos Slavchad. They were very upset about their inability to have a piece of the land. And Rashi tells us that we see from here that Jewish women are more connected to Eretz Yisrael than men. And in the end, they're given a portion. It's worked out. They come to Moshe. Moshe talks to Hashem. Hashem works it out for them. And then the Torah tells us, on the screen, you have it in front of you, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zayin Chasentes. The Pasuk says, V'lo sisov nachala livnei Yisrael, mimate el mate. You should just know, as we give Benos Lavchad a piece of land, you should just know that we have to be very careful that the inheritance, the nachala, the portion that is given to you, should not, lo sisov, should not what? Should not make its way around. Sisov, like Sivivon. Shouldn't make the rounds. What does that mean? It should stay by its owner. Don't trade away Eretz Yisrael. To who? Mimate lemate. Don't give your portion of land from one tribe to another tribe. Rather, ki ish benachlas mate avosav yidbuku b'nei Yisrael. Everyone should cling to their chelek. You got it? Stick with your land. And then the Torah describes again the reality of a daughter who's yoreshes her father. V'chol bas yoreshes nachla mimatas b'nei Yisrael. Right? The interesting halacha. What happens if there's no male heir? How do we work out the Yerusha? And then Pasuk Tes, and it's mamish almost the exact same words, V'lo sisov nachla mimate lemate acher. We should not transfer a piece of land from one shevet to another shevet. You told me that literally two psukim ago. I didn't forget so quickly. Asks the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, what's with the kfelus halashon? What's with the repetition? You literally told me the exact same words, Kemat, two psukim earlier. Why does it keep emphasizing, and don't trade away your ancestral land, even to your fellow Jew? Explains the Tiferes Shlomo of Radomsk. He explains, you know, why would I emphasize that twice? Achein hinezem arameis al mailas kedushas Eretz Yisrael v'Yushalayim. This comes to teach us about the holiness and the greatness of Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim that should be built speedily in our days. B'mher b'yameinu aven. Ki hinei yitzarich kol ish leishtokek b'chol levavo al Eretz Yisrael kedushasa. A Jew has to be the type of person who's always longing for Eretz Yisrael. Shalu shalom Yerushalayim. Tzion hi doresh ein la. The Navi Yirmiyah laments the fact that no one wants Eretz Yisrael, no one wants Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, Chazal say, miklal debay drisha. That implies that we should want it. And the longing itself creates what? Creates the possibility of Geula. The more you want it, the more you think you're not helping Eretz Yisrael by thinking about Eretz Yisrael right now. You are. Why? If I really cared about Eretz Yisrael, I'd live in Eretz Yisrael. You have to ask yourself that question also. But longing for Eretz Yisrael, wanting Eretz Yisrael, makes Geula a reality. V'hainu kishiyasim ha'odim alibo. Divrei HaKosov, when you think about the fact that the Torah said not only once, but literally two psukim apart, the Torah twice said, Lo sisov nachla mimate lemate. The Torah was makpid. Shelo tisov, the Torah hikpida. Shelo tisov, that a person should not, what? Pass around his nachla from one mate to another mate. From Shevet, what? From Reuven to Shimon. Why not? Afal pisha kulam yudbeis shivtei ka kulam kadoshim. What difference does it make? I'm giving it from one yid to another yid. He's a good guy also. Who cares? It used to belong to Shimon, now it belongs to Yehuda. Who cares? And the Torah says, no. What, are you crazy? You're going to trade away Eretz Yisrael? What, are you out of your mind? I'm giving it to a fellow Jew. If you understood what you have, you wouldn't give it up for anything in the world. So Mikol Shekein, listen to what he writes here. All the more so. Bizman Azeh. Asher ba'avonoseinu harabim kol eretz kadoshi itachas yara yishme'elim. He says, unfortunately, nowadays, too much of Eretz Yisrael and Baruch Hashem, you know, from the time of the Tiferet Shlomo till today, we've come a long way in terms of having Eretz Yisrael, but there's a long way to go. He says, so imagine how painful it is for Hashem. If the Torah doubled down on what? On not giving your piece of land up to even your fellow Jew, because it should be so precious to you. So all the more so when we see Eretz Yisrael sometimes in the hands of our enemies. How painful that should be for us. And therefore, we should scream out to Hashem. He writes here, Tzorach l'kro levav ish l'tzok al zeh, el HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'or rachim al ha'aretz, v'al kibas galias l'socha b'simcha b'mehera. We should be screaming out to Hashem, have rachmanis on yourself, Hashem. Have rachmanis on the Jewish people. Have rachmanis on the land. And explains the Tiferes Shlomo. When we do that, then Geula becomes a reality. The more we want it, the more it becomes a reality. That's also what we learn from the Bnei Yosef, from this family, right? From the family of Bnei Slavchad. They wanted Eretz Yisrael, and they got it. And he connects it as well to another Yom Tov, Haba Aleinu Litova, the celebration of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni also, where did Pesach Sheni come from? Who created Pesach Sheni? You know who created it? Jews who felt bad for themselves that they missed out on Pesach Rishon. Hashem, it's not fair. Lama Nigara. We also want to be connected. And it was that tshuka, it was that longing and that awesome desire that created that reality. That's what made it happen for them. If they didn't want it, they never would have had it. But because they wanted it so badly, that became the reality. And therefore says the Tiferes Shlomo, you see from here that Hashem responded and created Mitzvah Pesach Sheni. Ki al yedei tshukasam hanachona lefnei Hashem. Because by really wanting it, himshichu halachos chadashos, they brought down, what a chiddush, they brought down a new mitzvah. Hinei kamohim, just like them, just like Bnei Slavchad, just like the Pesach Sheni Jews. If we can increase our tshuka, if a Jewish heart can be filled with the longing, el ha'aretz u'binyan beis hamikdash, halochish maher yatar lahem. Immediately, swiftly, Hashem will respond. Ki alohu bonoi va'omedu lamala, because the beis hamikdash is waiting in Shemayim. Rak shesarach levakish olav lahorido, we have to want to bring it down. As the Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, L'shichno sidrashu uvasu shama. You have to be doresh, you have to want it. You have to be longing for it. And if you long for it, Hashem will give us the opportunity to hopefully get it. But just because you don't have it yet, does not exempt you on any level from chibu of Eretz Yisrael. And it's a hard thing sometimes when you're sitting in Chutz La'aretz, you know, wishing you could be in Eretz Yisrael. And sometimes wishing is not enough. Make it happen. Whose fault is it that you're not in Eretz Yisrael? Make it happen for yourself. But if you really can't be there for whatever reason, right? That doesn't mean that we stop dreaming about it all the time, talking about it. Don't shy away from the conversation. Talk about it. Talk about Eretz Yisrael. And in the final source, the Kuzari, the beautiful words of the Kuzari. And again, it brings us full circle. It brings us back to the pasuk that we started with. What's the pasuk that appears right before Ki Ratzu Avadecha Es Avaneha? The pasuk says, "Ata takum tirachim tzion ki es lachanu lakiva moed." Right? We ask for rachmanis, rachem al tzion ki veis chayenu, like we say, you know, in the brachas of the haftorah. We ask Hashem to have rachmanis, rachem no al Yerushalayim. Hashem, have rachmanis on Eretz Yisrael, have rachmanis on Yerushalayim, have rachmanis on Beis Hamikdash. Ki rotzu avadecha es avaneh, because the avdei Hashem, the ovdei Hashem, want it. And if we want it, then Hashem will have rachmanis. Ratzal lomar, says the Kuzari. Ki Yerushalayim amnam tivneh, kishi yechsefu b'nei Yisrael la tachlis ha-koisef. When we want it like we want nothing else, then it'll be built. Hashem, you have rachmanis. Hashem says back to us, no. Do you want it? Ki ratzu avadecha. Do you want it? Do you love the dirt of Eretz Yisrael to the point that you're rolling around in it? Ad yechoneinu avaneha v'afram. If you can see good in the dust of Eretz Yisrael, that's a sign of a person who really wants it. And again, that's why the Rambam records it lahalacha. The Rambam says, this was the derech of the Gedolim, but it doesn't mean that it's out of reach for us. Each person on their own madrega. We may not be Rabbi Yehuda, who's able to make a bracha on the Shemen Arzenu, right? But we could still be Jews who love Eretz Yisrael in a deep way. So Hashem should help us with a wholesomeness and a naturalness and just a complete sense of appreciation for the awesome gift of Eretz Yisrael. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day and to cling to it from a distance if you can't be there in person. And then Amir Tz Hashem, that ratzon, that cheshek, that longing, that the Tiferet Shlomo is describing here will shape reality. The same way Bnei Slavcha changed the trajectory of their connection to Eretz Yisrael because they wanted it. And the Jews who brought Pesach Sheni to the world because they wanted it. If we want it enough, we'll be Zochem Yirtz Hashem to see the Geula Shleima. B'mheira B'yameinu Amen.